You are listening to Sparking Wholeness with Erin Carey, where we talk about all things related to nutrition for mind, body, and soul. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, everybody, it's Erin Carey. Welcome back to Sparking Wholeness. Today, I am sitting down with Dr. Tabitha Barber. She has dedicated her life to giving women a voice and a choice when it comes to their health and well-being. Overcoming struggles as a young girl, including self-esteem challenges and the hurdles of being a high school dropout and teenage mother, she emerged as a successful physician through faith and perseverance. Her unwavering commitment to women's health is evident through her triple board certifications in obstetrics and gynecology, menopause, and functional medicine. As the driving force behind her thriving medical practice, Dr. Tabitha and her team provide compassionate support and care to women nationwide. Through the Gutsy Gynecologist show, her Gutsy Gynecologist supplement line, and her international best-selling book, Fast to Faith, she shares insights into the importance of gut health, hormone balance, mindset, and most importantly, nourishing the soul to truly heal and become whole. She is a beacon of light in a sea of medical darkness. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Erin. This is such an important conversation.
It is. And I just love how you have combined your story with your passion, with your faith, and you're integrating so much that it truly is a functional medicine approach of integrative health, right? So can you share a little bit about your background of being a teen mom? I relate to that. I wasn't quite a teen, but that story really impacted me when I first heard it. So I would love for listeners to hear that.
Yeah. And I think that this story can resonate for everyone because it isn't necessarily about being a mom at a young age or having a hard teenage years. It's really about finding your voice as a woman and, you know, being your own health advocate because, you know, I didn't plan to become pregnant. My family didn't have health insurance. I had to go on Medicaid and then food stamps and WIC. I needed all those government services. And I was treated like a second class citizen. You know, I had a doctor assigned to me and they made it clear that they were getting 20 cents on the dollar to take care of me. So it didn't feel very loving, that's for sure. It was quite a stressful time, but a lot of things were done to me without any kind of discussion or consent. And, you know, this is not 1950. This was 1992. You know, it's not that long ago. And unfortunately, I would argue that it's still kind of the same. You know, I am a doctor. I see the ends. And so I had a very traumatic delivery. I was pushing for over 3 hours. I was begging for a C-section because she was not coming out. I was in excruciating pain. I didn't have any support. The doctor finally came in and I thought, okay, he's going to help me, right? He's going to actually save me. And he put me up in stirrups. And the next thing I know, I was in even more excruciating pain. And what ended up happening was he used forceps to deliver her because he couldn't do a C-section. He was a family practice doctor, but I didn't know there were no choices. I just trusted him. He was the white coat, right? And so unfortunately, that event has affected my entire life. I have issues from this fourth degree tear that I had and that he didn't repair properly. And all the while I was getting stitched up, I'm watching them taking care of my daughter, you know, at the other side of the room and just thinking, oh my gosh, I vow to never let this happen to you. And then God just started like whispering to me, you can't let this happen to other women. You have to figure out how to help women speak up. They need choices. They need an advocate. And eventually I got my crap together. I went back, got my GED, figured out how to get into medical school, became a doctor, and then fast forward out in a practice 10 years. And I found myself just like that doctor, not giving women alternative choices, not having those real discussions, because unfortunately, I had 15 minutes to see a patient and it was like, let me get rid of her complaint as quickly as possible. You have a period issue, here's your birth control. You have pelvic pain, here's your surgery that we're going to do. And it wasn't until I reached my own health breaking point that all this came to a head. But sometimes God is whispering to us all along the way, and we're either choosing to lean in and say, yes, how can I shift? How can I be of service? How can I change what I'm doing? Or we just keep ignoring it and we dig ourselves deeper into our own misery, right?
Yeah. Wow. Your story is so inspiring, but also it's the awareness of that need that women have because you've been there and because you've seen it from the medical side. I think voices like yours, stories like yours are so important. We are seeing a lot of medical gaslighting happen to women right now. And it's, you know, I mean, this is not new. It was the 90s when women were included into clinical research. You know, like this is not new, but there are brave doctors sounding the alarm that this is not okay. And we should be empowered to look for other solutions, look into functional medicine solutions for our health.
Yes. Yeah, so I really thought becoming a doctor was the answer. You know, I'm going to be the women's health advocate. I'm going to help them take back control of their voice. But unfortunately, the medical system is broken, and it takes well-meaning physicians and breaks them. So I found myself just as broken as my patients. I was in survival mode. I was functioning completely sleep deprived, living on an absolutely terrible diet of sugar and caffeine to function and do deliveries all night and do surgeries all day, and neglecting my marriage and my small children, and definitely not exercising or doing any of the things. And, you know, I kept having more injuries. And one day my physical therapist said, I was telling him about my day, and he's like, "Is your life sustainable?" And I was like, "What kind of question is that?" Like, it has to be. This is my job. Like, God wants me to serve women and do all the things I'm doing. How dare you say that me, like, giving all of myself is not sustainable, or imply that it's a bad thing? But oh my gosh, was he right? I mean, that little statement and that question planted a seed in me, thankfully. And when I got to the point where I injured my back so bad I couldn't move, I remembered his question. And I thought, I don't think God wants me to live like this. Like, I'm absolutely miserable. I can't even remember my patient's name that I delivered the previous night. That's how bad it was. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And I had fallen away from God at that, you know, time in my life. I was trying to just do it on my own, figure it all out. And that's what we do a lot of times when we're in survival mode. So when I was laying in bed for 3 days, 5 days, unable to move, I got into some deep conversations with God. And he was like, "Yeah, this is not what I want for your life. You are making this mess. Like, I had other plans for you, greater plans." And the cool thing was, I also realized that I hadn't eaten in 3 days, that I was fasting unintentionally. My body was trying to heal itself, and my mind was trying to gain clarity and reconnect with God. And that sent me on this whole new mission of, like, what is fasting? How is that our superpower? And how do we need to pivot so that we hear what God wants for our life instead of trying to be in the driver's seat all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. That survival mode, that is so common. Ooh. And it comes from good intent, you know, like you had a mission, you had a desire and a God-given desire to help women. And then you pushed so hard that you pushed at the expense of your own health is what it sounds like, right?
Yeah. And what I realized, you know, the more I started really studying the Bible and understanding Jesus's life, is he rested.
Right.
He may have walked 40,000 steps in a day to go and do his work and reach people, but then he took days off and he talked to God and he, you know, hit the reset button and he took care of his body. And I remember reading First Corinthians, what is it? Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And I just thought, I treat my body like a garbage can.
Yeah.
Like I'm throwing Mountain Dew down there and Starbucks and donuts and cereal and whatever else I can get my hands on. And it was really a slap in the face that I needed. It's like, okay, you're right. You don't want me living like this. I can actually love my body, take care of myself, create a sustainable, balanced, somewhat balanced life. I don't know if it's always, but that is serving you and my purpose at the same time. Don't you agree?
Oh, for sure. I think it's really hard to live our purpose when our neurotransmitters are hijacked by hyperpalatable foods, right? When we're suffering from so much inflammation because of our pace of life and the choices that we're making. And then what good are we, you know, for this calling that we've been given? And so I really appreciate that perspective, which leads into your book. Can you share a little bit about your book and the reason behind writing it?
Yeah, I mean, when I really took a look at how I was living, the first thing I realized was I was hardcore addicted to sugar. Like the donuts would talk to me from the break room. Like I just thought about them while seeing patients and like, when can I go back and have another half? When can I try that other one? And I had to break up with sugar. And that sent me down a path of research. And when I started really studying functional medicine, like one of the statistics that blew me away was that in the 1800s, the average American ate 2 pounds of sugar in a week. Like that sounds like a lot, but it was nothing. 2 pounds in 1 week is what Aaron would eat. Now Aaron eats 60 pounds, like 60 pounds, I'm sorry, in a year. So that's 1 pound a week. That's insane. You go from 2 pounds a year to 60 pounds a year. But it's not our fault. That's the thing that I want women to understand is that this sugar has infiltrated our food supply and snuck in a way that we don't even realize. I remember the day I was reading my tuna packet and sugar was an ingredient. I'm like, how am I getting sugar in my tuna? Like that is really how infiltrated it is. And so if we take a step back and start to evaluate what we're putting in our body, I think a lot of people would be really shocked. And so that's the kind of stuff that I uncover in the book is why do you feel so addicted to breads and bagels and all these wheat gluten products? For me, I was producing gluteomorphines. So that's a chemical in your brain that feels just as euphoric as morphine.
Yep.
And I felt it when I would eat my bagel and cream cheese. Like I felt amazing for about half an hour. And then I would crash and be so depressed. And so then I would reach for whatever next sugar or gluten I could get my hands on to recreate that feeling of goodness again. And that is how the majority of Americans are functioning. That's the standard American diet. So it's like, don't even beat yourself up. It's not about willpower. It's not that you're weak. It's that you don't know what's happening inside your body.
Yeah.
And once you figure out what's happening, you understand like how your adrenals and your nervous system affect your gut health and vice versa, how your thyroid responds to that and why we all have like hypothyroidism, why our sex hormones are so out of whack. Like once you figure all this out, then you can start shifting and making tiny little changes throughout the day that have a huge impact on how you feel and how you function.
Yeah. Cortisol, insulin, and our sex hormones do such a dangerous dance together, don't they? It really impacts total functioning. So, and you touch on all of that in the book?
Absolutely. So there's now like 37 million Americans with diabetes, but there's at least 96 million with pre-diabetes. And the reason you don't know you have it is because doctors don't check. I was trained that you cannot order a hemoglobin A1C for a patient until they have diabetes. So we can't even see, do you have it? So if you get a fasting insulin that's higher than 5, 6, or 7, mm-hmm. and you have a hemoglobin A1C that's, you know, over 5.2 or 5.3, you're tiptoeing, you're on that path. You're trying to get diabetes. And how amazing could it be that you could find that out at that point, turn around and go the other direction? But the medical system is set up for diagnosis and disease. So we wait until your glucose level in your CMP, like your complete metabolic panel, until your glucose is like 150, and right. then we'll check a hemoglobin A1C. And then we'll say, oh, sorry, you have diabetes. Here's your metformin, or here's your semaglutide, and good luck. It's not reversible. We're going to manage it. And I just want women out there to realize that diseases are reversible. Mm-hmm. Autoimmune diseases, diabetes, insulin resistance, these diseases are reversible. Your body is capable of healing. We actually think the doctor is healing us, but think about this. As a surgeon, you know, I spent 4 years learning how to become a surgeon. That's another thing. Gynecologists, we're not hormone experts, we're surgeons. But when I cut through your skin and your fascia and your muscle, and I deliver the baby or remove the uterus and I close all those layers up with suture, I don't heal you shut. I put those tissues next to each other in approximation so that your body can heal them back together. They can grow cells back together. Your body does the healing, and we don't believe our body's capable of healing, yet it heals all the time. If you cut yourself, you heal on your own.
Yeah.
You don't need intervention most of the time. So I invite women to like believe in their bodies again. Stop hating your body. Stop being mad at your body. It's trying to tell you something. My body was screaming at me and I wasn't listening. That's what symptoms are. They're just messages that your body's trying to tell you something.
Yeah. And your body can heal and you can reverse these things if you have the right tools. And if somebody is looking for the right signs, because I think a lot of people, they get their, you know, standard lab work, their CMP, their CBC, and it's like everything's in the normal reference range, but they don't feel normal. And so what are some things that women could look out for in order to advocate for themselves best?
Yeah, can I tell you, the CBC and the CMP and the TSH, that came from the ICU, from the medical surgical unit in the hospital. When we have really sick patients or post-op patients, those are the labs we would check to see what kind of fluid replacement do we need? Do we need to give them blood? You know, are they in dire straits? That is what those labs tell us. The fact that this has now trickled down to be the primary care's way of checking your health status, that is a joke. It is not about health. It's about active dysfunction and being out of homeostasis. Your blood stays in a range of like 0.5 on the pH scale, no matter what. And when it doesn't, you'll be in the hospital. Like your blood will always do everything to look normal and be balanced. And the majority of your minerals, like your sodium, your potassium, your magnesium, those are all inside cells. That is not what's in the blood to be measured. So this idea that your CMP is normal is a very false sense of security that you're healthy, when in fact, all it means is you don't need to be in the hospital right now. Like the blood work outpatient doctors are checking and telling you you're healthy is a joke. It's not helpful. It's just not helpful. We need to be looking at other things. And so I go through that. I talk about, why is thyroid being misdiagnosed and mismanaged? And why are millions of women on Synthroid for hypothyroidism, yet they still are overweight and exhausted and can't think straight?
Yeah.
So like, if you're like, hello, I need to read that chapter, like literally just get the book for that chapter, because that's a huge deal. There are millions of women suffering from that. And conventional doctors aren't trained to understand that the thyroid is just responding to what's going on in the other systems. When you have gut problems, your thyroid downregulates its hormone production or diverts resources to go help kill and get rid of an infection, help to heal stuff. It's not that your thyroid's failing you or doesn't know how to function. We keep thinking our body doesn't know what it's doing, but our body has an innate intelligence that's absolutely incredible, and it knows very well what it's doing. You know, one of my favorite examples is women gain 5 to 10 pounds at menopause, and we're all mad at it. Like, how dare my body fail me? Why can't it, you know, do this? But it's your body's incredible innate intelligence saying, oh my gosh, your ovaries are no longer making estrogen like they were. Estrogen is protective. Where else can we make estrogen? We make estrogen in our fat cells. So it increases that estrogen production from the fat cells, so that you do continue to have bone protection and brain protection and cardiovascular protection. But we're over here going, you failed us. You suck. You're so fat. You're so ugly. And it's like, that's not at all what's happening. So if you can flip the script and be like, why are you doing this? What do you need from me? And just talk to your body in a loving way, you can really start to shift things. And there are ways to avoid weight gain after menopause. Like, I have a whole program based on that and everything. But you can't heal a body you hate. So you have to stop the current fight that's going on and look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah. And that stress, that living in survival mode, well, that's going to counter against how your adrenals want to help support your hormone load as well. I mean, that's what I think. I wish I had known this before I was 38, when it was almost too late, right? It's like, hey, protect your adrenals by managing your stress better. Maybe don't train for every half marathon there is. Maybe slow it down with some yoga here and there, or light walking, or some weights, or, you know, but we just go and we do. And those of us who are achievers, we want to do all the things at an unsustainable pace. And then pretty soon the body goes, oh, just kidding. This is not going to work, right?
Absolutely. I really wish that I had learned this in medical school or residency. I didn't learn it until I went on to study functional medicine, but our adrenal glands are our backup ovaries. So they both make steroid hormones throughout our life. They both make cortisol. Our stress hormone is from our adrenals. DHEA keeps cortisol in check. That's our healing anti-aging hormone. It tries to balance the destruction of cortisol. And then our ovaries make estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But the DHEA in our adrenals also make some testosterone and some estrogen. And so when our ovaries are done, because they have a lifespan, they have so many eggs, once you're done ovulating, the plant closes. Like, everybody leaves, the factory is shut down, it's no longer operating, you're not getting any hormones out of that ovary ever again. It physically shrivels up and looks like a tiny little almond, you know, when I go in surgically and try to find it. But now it's up to your adrenals to get the remaining sex hormones for the remainder of your life. So if you go into menopause with tanked adrenals, your body's going, it's time for you to like kick it into high gear, adrenals. Where's my sex hormones? Yeah. And your adrenals are like, no, we're done. You just abuse us all through your 40s. And so women are really crashing hard into menopause, unlike they ever have in decades prior. Yeah. And it's like you said, because we are so successful and we're so driven, and we're trying to do all the things, be all the things, have all the things. And our adrenals will do it for so long, and then they reach their breaking point. And this is what I hear all the time from women is like, it's not stress. Like, I handled that divorce and that death and that move, and I did everything. And then 6 months later, I got cancer, or I got sick, or I got chronic fatigue. No, that's actually the end result of that stress. That is how that works. Your adrenals will hold on for dear life and give you everything you need until they can't anymore. And it's usually as soon as you stop, your body's like, finally, the craziness has stopped and we're closing the factory, like, done. So if you could figure out that that's happening right now, there's so many things you can do to shift it and reverse it, prevent it from getting worse. I mean, I just had a call earlier with my patients and somebody who had POTS syndrome, which is like you completely tanked your adrenals to the point where it affects your blood pressure and you can't even stand up without passing out. She now was like singing in her choir and taking her kids on field trips and doing all these things. So it is reversible, but you have to accept responsibility for your part in it. It is what you're doing all day long. All your tiny daily choices, those are adding up to the current body that you have. If you want to know what your day is doing to you, look at your body, feel your body. That's what you're getting. It's the end result. And don't be mad. Don't shame yourself. Feel empowered that you can shift it and you can look different. You can feel different. All you have to do is make different choices. And that comes back to our mind. So honestly, when I help women shift their body, I always start with their mind. We have to have a complete mindset shift. Like, everything I do is based on Romans 12, 2. You can't conform to the pattern of this world. You have to renew your mind if you want anything to change. It really does start there.
Yeah, it really does. And if you're constantly thinking negative thoughts about yourself, if you're getting mad at yourself for not doing enough or not, whatever it is that builds up too, and that's another stressor. That's just one more thing to be stressed about.
Yeah, people find it hard to believe when you say your thoughts and your emotions that you're feeling, they create chemicals in your brain that go and talk to all the cells in your body. But think about the last fight you had or the last argument or traumatic thing. If you think about it for a few minutes, you will feel it. You will feel, and your physiology will shift. Your heart will race. You'll get sweaty. You might get shaky. All of those past feelings come back, and feelings are chemicals. Those chemicals are telling our cells to either be destroyed or to heal. And so it absolutely matters what you're thinking and what you're feeling because your body's listening. Your cells are listening and they're just doing what you tell them. So if you are saying, I will never heal, I will always be in pain, I will always be overweight, you will be. Like you are, that's what you're creating. And, people get frustrated, like, well, why isn't God fixing it? Why isn't God blessing me? Well, unfortunately, you were given free will. God wants you to choose. God needs you to choose and get into action. He gave you the free will to decide to do right or to not do right. And so, what I've learned over taking care of thousands of women is that once they make that mindset shift of, I do have the power. Me and God, we're going to turn this around. And like their entire health and life shift. It's incredible.
I love that because some women, so many women, not some women, so many women have lost power due to trauma, due to things happening to them outside of their control, and realizing that you can take agency. And all that missing piece is a lot of times we don't invite God into that process. We try to do it on our own and we want to fix it and we want to go through all of the healing tools without inviting him in. And so I'm so glad that you addressed that. Now, can you briefly address the concept of estrogen dominance? Because I see that that is just popping up all over the place. We've never really gotten into that on this podcast before, not in detail, but there are women that are experiencing symptoms And it could be due to perimenopause. It could be due to stress. It could be for whatever reason. And they hear this word estrogen dominance, but what does that mean? How does that show up? And what can we do to help reverse that?
Yeah. So this is a whole podcast episode. I've done a few podcast episodes on it. So go to the Gutsy Gynecologist show, listen to the estrogen dominance episodes. And I have a lot of little clips on Instagram about it because it is confusing. I think I just recorded one coming out in a couple weeks about the fact that you can have estrogen dominance without having really high estrogen levels. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily mean your estrogen is sky high. It means that your estrogen isn't balanced with progesterone. Those two are working in harmony. The same way cortisol and DHEA keep each other in check from the adrenals, estrogen and progesterone keep each other in check from the ovaries. And that's really important because progesterone naturally declines in our 40s as we don't ovulate consistently and our ovaries are starting to, you know, lose their capacity. So the first thing that happens is progesterone doesn't stay up. And then we add to it by making too much cortisol, our stress hormone. We use progesterone to make cortisol. We steal progesterone to make cortisol. Every time we make too much cortisol, we're causing an estrogen dominance picture because now estrogen is unchecked. Nobody's keeping it balanced. Nobody's watching it. And estrogen's a growth hormone. It wants to grow things. That's its job. And if progesterone isn't there to keep it in check, it will overgrow fibroids and endometriosis and breast tissue and the fat on your hips and your belly. And so we have so much say in this. And then we talk about, well, what does our body do with estrogen? Once we're done using it, we have to break it down. We have to metabolize it to turn it into something that we can send to the urine and stool for removal from our body. That happens in the liver. Unfortunately, we give the liver all kinds of other jobs to do. And so it always puts estrogen on the back burner and it never gets rid of the estrogen. It's too busy metabolizing our Benadryl and our Tylenol PM and our statins and our alcohol. Or it's full of fatty liver because you eat carbohydrates all day and you don't actually burn those carbohydrates as energy and it gets stored in your liver as fat. Fatty liver is now going to be the leading cause of liver transplant in this country. It's crazy. Like, that's unacceptable to me. And they're estimating that 5 to 10% of children have fatty liver. Like,
so wrong.
So we have to start loving our liver and stop abusing it. You have to stop drinking alcohol on a regular basis. That needs to be a special occasion. Because every time you drink alcohol, you don't metabolize your estrogen, and that leads to estrogen dominance. It can send you down this pathway of 4-hydroxyestrone. That is what damages cells and DNA and increase your risks of cancer. So it's not estrogen. It's the alcohol that's the risk factor. So the other cool thing is that there's certain bacteria in our gut that will cut the garbage tag off of estrogen after your liver worked so hard to put the garbage tag on. It's called beta-glucuronidase. So you can reabsorb estrogen back into your body that you're trying to poop out and get rid of, especially if you're constipated and the stool is sitting in there for a while, it has more time to absorb it. So that can become a vicious cycle. Women tell me, well, I only poop a couple times a week and my periods are crazy heavy and I'm just so moody and my PMS is out of control. Yeah, that's estrogen dominance. Mm-hmm. So I really want women to understand, like, it can just be little tweaks. You know, if you change and only drink one drink of alcohol on a weekend as opposed to every night, or you evaluate the medications you're taking, or stop using Tylenol all the time, or shift from a high carb diet to a high fat, high protein diet. Like, you can shift so many things. And I also want women to realize that we can't do things the way we did in our 20s. You can't eat the way you ate. you have to get back to real whole foods. And in chapter 7, I talk about Frankenfoods versus faith foods. Frankenfoods are, I think about Frankenstein, you know, he was created out of all these monster parts. And that's what we do with our food nowadays. We like create these made up foods in the lab in these boxes and bag, and we eat them and act like they're supposed to nourish us, and they're destroying us. So I talk about like what foods are really destroying you and what foods you should focus on, because there is a lot of confusion out there. And a lot of women, they're just at the point where like, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, eat the food that God made.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it is, and here's how to focus on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that, because there are so many women that complain of, you know, hormonal imbalance, like symptoms like period issues or cramping, bloating, you know, heavy, painful breasts. I mean, like there's so many, and then the belly weight, right? And so much of this can be supported by caring for, like you said, caring for the liver and making sure that you're not super stressed out and eating the food that your body recognizes as food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so glad that you touched on that briefly. Now, where can
actually,
women,
can I mention something really
absolutely.
Quick? Because
yeah.
You mentioned something earlier that I don't want women to miss. Stress can make you gain weight. Stress causes belly fat. And so it's not always about the food you eat. So for some women, that is the big thing. But every time you make cortisol to handle your stress, your liver also has to make glucose to put it into your bloodstream, because your body thinks you're either about to run from a tiger or get into a big fight with a tiger. And so every time you're stressed, you are elevating your blood sugar. So I see women with prediabetes who claim to eat normal, healthy diets. So I just didn't want that to be missed, because that
yes.
could be a game changer for women. And it could be something as simple as like meditating on scripture for 5 minutes a day, you know, or doing some breathing technique during lunchtime, taking some adaptogenic herbs so that the adrenals don't hyper respond every time. Like those little shifts that can really affect your weight and get rid of that belly fat and the whole deal. So,
oh, I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. One of the things that has really helped me, because I love to exercise, but I also know it's a hormetic stressor, right? Like it puts your body through stress as long as you recover. Most women aren't recovering after they exercise. So I take 3 to 5 minutes after my workout. I lay down, I put on a worship song, and I just chill for that amount of time to breathe, to go, okay, body,
yes,
you've got this. You're resilient. You're going to bounce back. Because if we just bounce from thing to thing to thing without a break to breathe or to process or to pray or whatever, the body picks up on that. And the body just, like you said, thinks we're running from a tiger all day long. So I'm so glad you brought that up. That's really important. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I talk about the autonomic part of our nervous system in the book and how you can either be in a sympathetic mode, which it sounds like a nice word, but it's not. That is fight or flight, sympathetic dominance. Or you can be in parasympathetic, rest, digest, and repair, but you can't activate both nervous systems at the same time. And you're usually in that nervous side of that nervous system until the other one gets activated. So if you are in a sympathetic dominant state, fight or flight, you're going to stay there.
Yep.
Tell something pulls you over to the parasympathetic side, and people try to eat while they're stressed out, and you don't make digestive enzymes, you don't make stomach acid when you're in the sympathetic mode. You have to be in parasympathetic mode. So you have to activate your vagus nerve to shift you to get into that rest, digest, and repair mode. And so many women are creating food sensitivities and bacterial overgrowth and leaky gut, all because they're eating stressed out and quickly and on the go. And like simple little shifts like singing and humming before you eat, and just getting into that other side of your nervous system, that could like prevent you from needing antibiotics and all this gut regimen stuff. Seriously.
Yes. No, you are so speaking my language right now. I love it. Yeah. That's changed my life learning that. So I'm so glad that you're bringing this up because I'm hoping somebody's listening and having an aha moment or many of them. Okay. So where can people find your book and learn more about, I mean, I know you have a supplement line, all of that.
Yeah, so you can get the book on Amazon. We have a website called fasttofaith.com, and you can sign up to have so many amazing resources. Like, I wasn't able to put the recipes for the 40-day program in the book, but they're all there through the website. And we have an online program that we run, and we have a maintenance program after the 40 days. It's so many good resources, but if this is like stimulating you right now, you're listening and you're going, wait a second, what does she say again? Like, I cover all this stuff in my podcasts. We talk about the gut connection to the GYN health. We talk about the adrenals and the thyroid and the immune system and all this stuff, because I really just want you to understand what's happening in your body and how you can shift it with your, you know, choices and changes in your life. And so there's tons of free resources. And if you feel like, I just need to do some testing, I know I'm a hot mess, I want to work with somebody, I want somebody to look at my full picture of what's happening, that's what we're really good at in my practice, my team and I, at drtabatha.com. It's just DrTabatha. And you can work with us one-on-one. We're licensed in over half the country, so we see women everywhere. And it's so rewarding to help women get their lives back.
Yeah, definitely. I love what you're doing. And last question, the name of the show is Sparking Wholeness. So if you could give one piece of advice to spark someone toward wholeness, what would it be?
I truly believe the practice of Lectio Divina, which is in my program, where you meditate on a single scripture for 5 minutes. You ask God, what do you want me to hear from this scripture right now? How does this play into what's happening in my life? Because the Bible is the living, nourishing word. It is not about some men a couple thousand years ago. It's about you and what's happening in your life at this moment. If you could meditate on those words and ask God, and then you got to get your pen and write it down. You have to go from the crazy brain and find the solution. The solution comes out on the pen. You will reestablish that connection with God, and you'll start to hear things so much clearer, and you'll start to see who you really are so much clearer. Like, to me, that is how you get back to being whole. That's how you reconnect the body, mind, and soul, is that relationship.
Absolutely. I love that. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. I appreciate you and your vulnerability and everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I know your listeners are just like loving you because you're bringing them so much good stuff. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
The tiniest spark leads to the biggest blaze, and I hope that today's episode sparks you on a journey to healing and wholeness. Thanks for listening to Sparking Wholeness. For more information on what I do and my coaching programs, or maybe just to reach out and say hey, find me at sparkingwholeness.com or on Instagram at sparkingwholeness. Have a fabulous week.